Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. My special guest today is Tina Yeager. Now, Tina's a therapist. She's also a podcast host and an author. She just wrote a book called Beautiful Warrior, and we're going to be talking to Tina right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Would love to hear from you. You can always send me an email at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Okay, everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Tina Yeager. She's a therapist. She is a podcast host. She is a life coach, and I'm sure I'm leaving something out, but she's also an author, and she has just released a book entitled Beautiful Warrior. Hello, Tina.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Let's start off with you telling us just a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you said, my background is in mental health counseling. I now practice life coaching online, but have directed most of my attention toward writing and speaking and mentoring writers groups and doing my podcast on helping people live the life they were meant to so they can flourish.
Okay. When we get towards the end here, we'll let you talk about where to find all those things, your podcast and how to get your book and so forth. But, you know, in the initial letter that you sent me, you mentioned a bunch of different topics that you are versed in, I guess is the way of putting it. And one of the things that you said that you can do is to help people get a better self-image of themselves with, I think you call it a self-image makeover. What would be involved with that, and how would you go about doing that?
Well, first of all, we'll look at where they're at, because you always want to start where you are, and see if there are some places where you're feeling insecurity in your life. Are there places where you're not seeing yourself with a clear perspective? And we can have two different kinds of distortions in our identity and our esteem. One would be a convex, and one would be a concave kind of lens of looking at things. We can see ourselves from a slightly more inflated view and not see the places where we can improve, or we can see ourselves with too little potential and not see that we do have potential to improve, and we actually can fulfill that potential and do marvelous things with our lives. So kind of seeing where you're at and checking to find out if there's some places where you have room to grow. And most people do have some room to grow, whether it's they're very mature in their self-image and they have room to grow as a leader to help other people, or they're still kind of healing in places where they've been wounded and they've been given shame lies that they've bought into and they believe in. So helping people overcome those shame lies that they've inflicted on themselves, that they've learned from the environment. Our culture has a tendency to want us to buy things, so they'll kind of talk us into believing you're not good enough as you are. So we hear shame lies from our culture. And then we also can hear them from dysfunctional family backgrounds, where our family members, because of their own brokenness, have brought us shame lies and told us we're not good enough, that we are never going to be good enough, and all of those kinds of things. So that's where I would help people kind of discover the truth about who they are and where they have room to grow.
Okay, I know you said that that it's possible to look through, I believe you call it a concave lens, and like to have your expectations overinflated. How common is that?
It usually is the other side of the coin. Pride and shame are related, because we're looking inward without looking outward. And when we're looking outward toward how we can serve and be a blessing, we're less likely to either have an overinflated view of ourselves or an underrepresented view of what we can do. So if you look at yourself with too much pride, not just that healthy pride where I feel good about what I can do for others, but a pride that's self-centered, where you're only looking at what's in it for you all of the time, then that's kind of based on insecurity, where you're trying to make yourself look bigger than other people by comparison, that you're more important, or your needs and your ego and the way you look in front of other people is more important than that of others. That's usually based on some sense of insecurity or woundedness. And looking at that in a more healthy perspective will prevent you from getting that reality slap that tends to fling us in the other direction. Because when you rise really high, you're likely to crash really far.
Okay.
And then you'll get hit with shame on the other end of that and realizing, oh, I was so wrong. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a cyclical thing where we get pride and then we get shame.
Okay. Well, so, you know, no matter what end of the spectrum you're on, once you have discovered that you have these issues that are just not resolved, whether it be a lack of self-esteem or, you know, the overinflated ego type person. So, you know, I think a lot of people can identify that sort of thing, especially as they get older in themselves. The big question I have for you is, so what then? What do you do then?
First, you recognize that everybody matters. We all matter to each other. Everybody has a unique giftedness and a unique set of giftednesses, gifts that will help you contribute to the life of the people around you. And if you look at your life as one that matters, as it weaves into the stories of other people, then you'll be able to get a more healthy and balanced view of who you are and what you're meant to do. How can I be a blessing to everyone whose lives I touch? If you see yourself that way, then you're not going to have a too inflated view of yourself or an underrepresentative view of your purpose and potential. So seeing yourself as a servant who blesses other people is not seeing yourself as subservient or less important, but you are seeing yourself as just as important as others around you.
And does that help to improve someone's self-esteem?
Absolutely. Because when you see yourself as someone who's just as important as everyone else around you and someone who can benefit others in a unique way, then you begin to have a healthy sense of purpose and a healthy sense of self-esteem.
Okay. So I see also in your, somewhere I read that you are very much into Christianity, and this is a major part of what you have to say. Tell us about that.
I think if you have a faith-centered sense of who you are and where you're going and what your purpose is, you have so much more going on with centering your sense of self beyond just your own life and beyond what you could do on your own. Then you have the power of your faith and your relationship with God to inform and equip you and empower you to be who you're really meant to be.
Okay. We also, as human beings, have lots of negative habits. And you address how to get rid of those negative habits, and you talk about replacing those things with healthy habits. So I imagine, first of all, you have to identify those habits. And I'm sure you could help somebody with that, but if somebody wanted to try to do that on their own, I mean, a lot of it's common sense, right? You would think
so. It's common sense, but it's harder to do it on your own, isn't it?
Yeah. So what advice would you have for someone along those lines?
Depending on what your habits are, that will determine how deeply rooted they are and how toxic they are, how much support you're going to need from other people. If you have, say, an addiction, and that is your negative habit, whether it's a behavioral addiction like pornography or shoplifting or gambling or an eating disorder or a chemical or substance addiction, you're going to need support from other people to help hold you accountable. Because as much as we want to be able to do those things on our own, it is very hard to do that from within your own head. So having other people who are kind, who are caring, but who are going to be willing to confront you in love and hold you accountable to changing your habits is really, really helpful. Because it's so easy in your head to justify going back to that negative habit the first time that you have a temptation to do so. And those kinds of bad habits are our defaults until we make new defaults. That's how the brain works. We have neuropathways that are very strong, and they strengthen based on how much we reinforce those habits in our heads are those neural pathways with continuing to reward ourselves with those behaviors, continuing to entertain those thoughts. And they get stronger and they get wider. And if you shift and make new ones, it takes time. It takes repetition. And thought habits are very similar. You can have negative thought habits that precede your behavior habits. So you will have to change those thought habits intentionally. Your feelings won't change until much later after your thoughts and your behaviors have changed. So don't expect to just change because you feel like it right away. You're not going to feel like it. You'll have to move out of what you feel like doing and do what's very uncomfortable and what feels very unnatural for a while until you have changed those habits of thinking and behavior.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because none of that kind of attack towards your behavior, that it just, it's, I've been through that. It's not real pleasant, especially initially.
No.
But I like what you're saying about thought thought stop, thought shift. Say that five times fast. But I like what you're saying about that, and I think that's an excellent technique to talk about. And I'm just kind of curious. Let's move on to your book, and tell me how you got to a place where you decided, you know, I should write a book about this. I mean, how do you get there, and how did that process work?
Well, oftentimes our most powerful message comes from our place of greatest pain in our lives. So since I had struggled with low self-esteem and even had an eating disorder for 8 years, when I became a therapist and I kept seeing women especially, but all kinds of people who came into my office who struggled with low self-esteem and lack of purpose, I realized there's only so many people that I can encourage on this issue from my office or even in speaking engagements. I needed a vehicle that could reach more people and help encourage them to get out of that pit. So a book was the way to do that, the way to reach other people and encourage them.
Okay. And speaking of encouragement, what kind of advice would you have for my audience? My audience is people that are coming out of incarceration and are serious about getting themselves together. What would you say to them at this point in their lives?
I would encourage them to look at what's best about who they are. What can they offer other people? Not what you've done, not where you even are right now, but what could your story do to encourage other people? And what can you give back to your community? Because you matter. Your story matters. And if you look at the background of Christianity, as in the ministry of Jesus Christ, he always went to the people that were the most outcast and used them to reach others. He used a man who was demon-possessed, who'd been outcast from his community and been locked up in chains and put in tombs. That was who he chose to be his evangelist to the Gentile nation. So God uses people, and you can be used too if you are in a place where you think you can't be used.
Okay.
So don't believe that you're not worth it. Don't believe that you can't make it. Find a way to bless other people. That will make you feel fulfilled, and it'll give you purpose, and it'll help you keep moving forward every day.
Excellent. Okay, Tina, how do we find your book and your podcast? Give us the info.
Okay, you can find everything at tinayager.com, and that's TinaYeager.com.
Okay, and I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. Tina Yeager, and her book is called A Beautiful Warrior. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you, Rodney. I appreciate you having me on today.
Okay, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Well, hey there. If you've got an idea for a show, why don't you let me know about it? If you've got an idea for a guest, let me know about it as well. You can always do that at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney@yahoo.com.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank my special guest today, Tina Yeager, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.